This is Darla Rogers, and I just wanted to advise you that I do have a preliminary matter that I wanted to bring up with the commission prior to proceeding further, and if I would be able to do that whenever you're ready, I would appreciate that.
That sounds good.
Do you wish me to proceed now?
Well, we're all ready to roll here, Bob.
Great. Well, then let's go ahead. We'll call the ad hoc commission meeting of Friday, January 27th, 2006 to order, and the issue before the commission today is CT-05001. Two items are set for motion today. Shall the commission grant the motion for partial summary judgment, and shall the commission grant the motion in limine? And Ms. Rogers, you indicated you had a preliminary matter to bring before the commission.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Saar. Late yesterday afternoon, or yesterday, we were advised that the brother-in-law of our expert witness, Larry Thompson, passed away. He is out of state. This will take our expert witness, Larry Thompson, to the state of Kansas. I'm not sure if he left today or tomorrow. At any rate, the memorial service is going to be Sunday night. The funeral service is in Wichita, Kansas on Monday, and the internment is going to be in Omaha late Tuesday morning, which means that the soonest that he could get back here, assuming he left immediately after the internment, would be late Tuesday evening. This would not give us any prep time with our witness. In addition to which, the person that died is leaving Larry's sister as the surviving spouse with three fairly young children. I just reluctantly, but nevertheless, out of deference to my witness and putting someone in that position, I am asking this commission to continue the hearing date currently set for February 1st through the 3rd. I believe that Larry's priorities in this situation need to be with his family. This is a very tragic time for him, and I understand how hearing dates are certainly at a premium. Nevertheless, I feel compelled to bring this motion because I don't believe it's fair to put Mr. Thompson in the situation of having torn loyalties like this. And so I am respectfully requesting the commission to continue the hearing date currently set for February 1st through the 3rd.
Well, thank you very much, and certainly our thoughts go out to Mr. Thompson and his family. It sounds like a very, very difficult situation. Ms. Rogers, have you had an opportunity to discuss this with any of the other parties?
Yes, sir. I have discussed it with Mr. Wysorek. Obviously, I've discussed it with my clients, and SDTA has joined in my motion for a continuance. I've also had consultation with staff counsel, and I did file a written motion just prior to the hearing so that everyone was aware. I believe I made my in fact, I talked to Mr. Wysorek immediately after I found out what was happening and indicated my intention to do that, and he can speak for himself as to his response.
Thank you. Mr. Wysorek.
I agree that she told me yesterday afternoon at that time it was my understanding that she was going to talk to Mr. Thompson as a follow-up because her concern was him simply getting back Tuesday night. This is a case where we would go first. I must admit that I haven't had a chance to talk to my client, so I can't at this point agree to the continuance because I don't have the authority to do that without conferring with my client first. And it might have been a misinterpretation. As I understood what she told me, Darla told me yesterday, was she was considering it depending on that she needed to talk to Larry again. It doesn't surprise me that she had filed it to preserve it, but at this point I have not had a chance to confer with my client to say whether I have the authority to agree to a continuance.
Thank you. Ms. Rogers, have you had, and I know this all happened, it sounds like, relatively suddenly, and have you had an opportunity to check with our staff to see when the next scheduled dates that my work would be?
I have not. Heather is here, and perhaps staff has talked about it without me being there.
Ms. Forney, if you're there, if you could just let us know, without necessarily getting into specifics if you don't have them, what are we looking at for possible dates?
We might be able to squeeze it in the following week, which would be the 6th through the 10th. The next possible dates after that, and I'm a little nervous to really propose these because it would be the last week of session, which would be the 21st through the 24th of February, and that's also coming off of that 3-day President's Day weekend. So it's possible to try and schedule something the week of the 6th through the 10th, or as a next alternative, probably the 21st through the 24th of February.
Well, so it does look like there's some pretty good dates coming up, and of course this one is not as long as some hearings as we have, at least the allotted time.
That's correct.
Any other questions from the commissioners or comments?
No, sir.
Mr. Hansen?
None.
Well, certainly I think the loss of an important expert witness on a hearing of this magnitude and such a critical witness, I think is in my mind, and certainly through nothing but completely understandable circumstances, it in my mind is certainly enough to grant the request for a continuance. And then, Ms. Rogers, if you'd please work closely with staff, the PUC staff and Mr. Wysorek to see some of these dates in the very near future would work as substitute dates, we would appreciate that. But with that, I will make the motion that we grant the continuance.
Second.
And I concur.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're certainly welcome. Again, on behalf of the Commissioner of the Commission, our thoughts go out to Mr. Thompson and his family. The two issues that we have before us now, we have two pending motions, and one of the reasons that we're looking at taking them today and doing this ad hoc meeting, of course, was the pendency of a hearing next week and the need to prepare witnesses. I would look to my colleagues and to Commission staff. We certainly can act on these today. At the same time, we now are no longer under the gun, so to speak, with a pending hearing starting in the middle of next week. Any thoughts, either from the commissioners or from advisors, on whether we should rule on these today or wait until perhaps next week?
This is Commissioner Hansen. I'm prepared to act on them today. I'm sure you both are as well. From standpoint of giving the parties an opportunity to perhaps know where we're coming from and in preparation of their materials, it might be good to act today. That's my only comment.
Mr. Johnson.
I'm prepared to vote today, and I think we probably should. I don't know that I'm 100% my decision, but having read through the case law and everything else four times, I suspect doing it a fifth and sixth time isn't necessarily going to get me any closer than I am to certainty.
Well, with that in mind, then, the first question is, shall the Commission grant the motion for partial summary judgment? And Mr. Smith, just to make sure we're all fresh in mind, this is the Western Wireless's motion for summary judgment. It's the motion that deals with the language that talking about focuses at least partially, if not primarily, on the mutually agreed upon language.
That's right. This is the motion that deals with sections with the claims count portions of the counterclaim that relate to section 7.2.3. I was going to try to dig out the precise language here.
Close now to having that memorized.
Yeah. Well, I'm like Commissioner Johnson. I've been poring over the cases for so long, I haven't actually looked at the actual motion for a little while.
Well, and I do think we probably are familiar with enough. I just want to make sure that, especially for people listening, that we had it teed up correctly. Do either one of the commissioners have a motion on this particular issue?
Mr. Sherman, I might have a question. If it be in order for a staff attorney, Wiest, first.
Please proceed.
And you know, if her answer may change my mind somewhat, you know, if we would need to delay this decision, I suspect not. But Ms. Wiest, last week the Supreme Court released a Ziegler Furniture case.
Yes.
And I've read through that. I mean, do you think there's anything in there that changes the landscape of the case of the DACA before us?
I just read through that once, so I'm not sure if I can say exactly if it would change it. I mean, I think there are probably some parallels. But on the other hand, it didn't specifically state that it was relating to an agreement to agree.
Mr. Smith, did you have any?
I agree with what Ms. Weiss just said. It doesn't expressly deal with an agreement to agree. Its proximity to this case would strictly be in what it seems to be taking a slightly more liberal attitude than has been taken previously with respect to contract terms that are not completely fleshed out or a contract that may not have been 100% fleshed out. In that particular holding, if I'm not mistaken, the court did base its finding or its holding on the fact that all material terms of the contract had been, quote, agreed to in the term sheet, and then the course of conduct of the parties was such that it reflected, it was consistent with them having reached agreement in the court's mind. The parallel to this case is that, in fact, the term sheet contemplated the execution of a formal agreement, and the parties never did that. So in that sense, they never had the agreement that was contemplated by the term sheet, and yet the court held that it was enforceable.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
All right. Mr. Johnson, I don't want to put you on the spot. I have a feeling you may be the swing vote in this one. Do you want to tee up a motion, or do you want me to go ahead and tee one up?
Mr. Chairman, I would make the motion to deny the motion for summary judgment.
This is Hanson. I second that motion.
And I dissent on that motion. And I should say a couple concerns that I have is, one, I do think the contract law issues in the state of South Dakota are fairly well settled on this matter. And in different contexts, other type of contractual relationships might lead me to a different answer, but in my mind, it is something that is well settled South Dakota law, and the reason that I reached on an independent basis was very similar to what staff attorney Rolaine Weist recommended as well at the last hearing. And I also think you could rule in favor of granting the motion for partially summary judgment, and that it might be possible then for the commission, though, to still come back and interpret that provision, and give it meaning, and make the determination on the traffic study as part of the hearing as well. Then the second motion is, shall the commission grant the motion in limine? Mr. Smith, do you want to just give us a two-sentence?
The motion in limine is to restrict the admission of parole evidence related to clause, just a minute, section 2.1 of the interconnection agreement on the grounds that there is no basis for, under South Dakota law, for the admission of parole evidence. There's no ambiguity nor any of the other grounds met here.
Thank you, and I will move that the commission grant the motion in limine.
I would second the motion.
And I concur.
Thank you. Is there anything else to come before the commission on this matter? Hearing none, Ms. Rogers, Mr. Wieczorek, and if you would please work with staff and look at the dates where we could get this rescheduled as soon as possible, we'd appreciate that. That will conclude the ad hoc commission meeting hearing of Friday, January 27th. Thank you.